Let's jump into our message. We're going to be back in the book of Ephesians today, Ephesians chapter 2. So a couple weeks ago, I shared on the first part of chapter 1, you're part of God's perfect plan, your spiritual blessings are found in Christ, your ultimate purpose is to bring Him glory and praise. And then last week, Pastor Terry Brown was here. He serves as our district secretary treasurer, and so both of us will kind of be finishing out our terms here at council this week. We have our council this week, and so I serve as the assistant, and he serves as the secretary treasurer, and so they're kind of combining those roles along with another role, and so that'll be voted on here this week. So we'll be stepping down, and so we can pray about that. But Terry shared the pastor's prayer that Paul has in the second part of Ephesians chapter 1, and so that he prays that they would know the hope that they were called to, that they would understand God's rich inheritance in them. Okay, I think we can read that and we think, oh, God is our rich inheritance. But when you really read it the way Paul has it, you are God's rich inheritance. Isn't that cool? You are the treasure that he was seeking, right? Often we talk about we find God, but God is searching after us. And then number three, he talks about the incomparably great power for those who believe. The same power that raised Christ from the dead also dwells within us, right? Right? Now, I realize when we wake up some Sunday mornings, it's kind of like, okay, where's that plug in? Because I need it, right? 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 You know, and we often refer to that. Some days you feel more alive than others, right? When you feel alive, right? You're energized, right? You're positive. I'm going to look at my notes here because I got this in my notes. All right? You have that positive outlook. You get things done. You feel excited, right? When you feel alive. We use that terminology, right? Okay? And then there's other mornings you wake up and you feel dead, right? And by that we mean we don't want to get out of bed, right? We're not usually very productive on those days. We're maybe even a little bit depressed. Woe is me, right? All right? And so there's a difference between when we feel alive and when we feel dead. And our passage today, I've entitled it Alive, and Paul talks about that. So I want you to carry that thought into the verses that we read today. All right? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. It is living. It is the living word of God. So it is able to correct. It's able to guide. It's able to instruct us in the way we should go. It's able to give us life and encouragement. And so, Lord God, in these moments we have, take it and apply it to our life. In your name we pray. Amen. Verses 1 and 3 is where we're going to begin of chapter 2. It says, as for you, okay, so we can say it was Paul's maybe speaking to us in the future, but he's talking to the Ephesians, and we remember that the Ephesians, were they just all good people? Maybe, maybe not. You know, if we really go back and do our homework, they came out of an idolatrous culture, okay? Some pretty bad gods, okay? Not just that they were idol sitting on the shelf, a little Buddha, all right? There was a lot of sexual stuff. There was a lot of idolatrous stuff that went along with that. And so a lot of them were called out of that culture, okay? It was not a Christian culture by any means. Some of them were Jews, so they had a little more moral guidance in their life. But all of them were without Christ. And it says, for as for you, you were dead. Say dead. In your transgressions and your sins. You're stuck. When you're dead, you can't move, right? You're lifeless. You're unable to get out of that, right? That is the way you used to live. You followed the ways of the world, you know, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's Satan, right? The spirit who is not work in those who are now disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Did you know you were deserving of God's wrath because of your sin? Wow. I thought God loved me. Well, let's unpack that a little bit. Before Christ, all of us are dead in our transgressions and sins. What does that mean, dead in your transgressions and sins? It means it's characterized by a lack of spiritual life or vigor, being completely indifferent towards the things of God. And sometimes we think, you know what? If you want to hear about God, you just turn on the radio, you turn on the TV. People can run across, you know, God in that way, right? Or maybe they see a sign, a billboard, or maybe they run into somebody that talks to them about Christ. But when you are dead in your transgressions and sins, there is like a veil that is there. Paul talks about that. There's a veil, there's a barrier, an inability to really respond to God. You follow me? You were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were unable to move towards God. This results in us following the desires of our heart and our flesh. So usually that's not good things, okay? And you look at our world, the hostility that is there between nations, right? That we have to have wars and we have to have battles, right? Why can't we all just get along? I just had coffee with a guy and he goes, why can't we just all get along? It's because of sin, right? There is something within us that we want power, we want control. We're greedy. And so we have nations and they fight and they against one another. We follow the ways of this world, and some people are more moral than others, but we've all sinned, and thus we're all deserving of God's wrath. Wow, that's kind of somber, isn't it? I think God loves you. I know He loves you. But we've all sinned. And God has to judge sin, doesn't He? He's not going to sweep it under the rug. So if I had a rug here, I could sweep it under there. All right? How many have cleaned the house and you swept it under the rug, right? All right? Still there, right? We think it's hidden. And God isn't going to sweep our sin under the rug. Why? Because He's holy. He's a holy and an awesome God. He cannot just sweep our sin under the rug. And so the only way that our sin can be removed is if it's satisfied, unless there's a sacrifice that is made to cover over our sin. And so God didn't sweep our sin under the rug. Instead, He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin. He, Jesus, took our sin upon Himself when He went to the cross. This is what Paul says in Romans. He says, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Right? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory. None of us is exempt from that. And then he goes on to say in verse 23 of chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death. Yeah. That's the consequence. The first principle we want to catch here is that we all have a past that needs God's redemption. None of us is exempt from that. We all have a past. And some of you think, you look back and, man, I did a lot of bad stuff, right? And some of you say, you know what, I was a pretty good person. I was raised in a good home. I didn't do a lot of bad things. But guess what? You all have a past. I have a past that needs God's redemption because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. There's only one human being that ever walked the surface of this earth without sin, and His name was Jesus. He's the only one that was without sin. The rest of us have all sinned and are incapable of living a godly life. We're spiritually bankrupt. We lack the spiritual life, vigor, and ability to pursue God. And because of our sin, we deserve death. So I'm going to have the closing prayer and we're going to go home. No, I won't leave us hanging there. Let's look at verse 4 and 9. But, isn't that a good word? But because of His great love for us, right? God, who is rich in mercy, made us what? Alive. Say that word again. Alive. We were dead and now we are alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, you know, how important is that? I think so many people think, you know what? God can work in my life once I get my act cleaned up. But you know what? God loved you even before you got your act cleaned up or in the process of getting your act cleaned up. He loved you when you're a dirty, rotten sinner. All right? He did. That's what it says, right? When you were dead in your transgressions, God made you alive and He reached out to you. And God raised us up with Him in Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It's like somebody inviting you to their box seat, right? instead of being in the low-end seats, they're inviting you up to the box seats so you have the good view and all the benefits that come with that. Verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparably great riches. Okay, Paul likes to use these superlatives. Incomparably great riches of his grace. And the other message in chapter 1, he's lavished his grace and love upon us, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Verse 8, this should be underlined in all your Bibles or highlighted in your electronic version. For it is by grace you have been saved, and it is not by, well, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Those are very good verses just to know for ourselves, but also if we're sharing our faith with somebody else. So Paul says, you know what? We were all spiritually dead, unable to reach out to God, but he reached out to us by his grace. And grace is important because without grace, I don't think any of us would have the ability to respond to God because we would be destroyed. We couldn't draw close to God because he's holy. But because God has extended his grace to us, we can draw near to a holy God. Amen? And we can have a relationship with him. Even because we were all sinners, right? When God reached out to us. He loves us and he's extended his grace to us in a great measure. An exceedingly great measure. His love and his grace are so rich. Not only does he forgive us of our sin, but he also gives us a seat in the heavenly realms when we come to him for salvation. Grace opens up that door. The second principle we see here is that God's grace plus our faith leads to life. So if you're an equation person, you can say God's grace plus faith equals eternal life. Okay? Right? Algebra people or, I don't know, math people. Right? That's what you could do. God's grace plus our faith leads to life, eternal life. Paul says this in Galatians 2. 20 through 21, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not try to set aside the grace of God, because if righteousness could be attained through the law, Christ, what? Died for nothing. And see, Paul was raised, I think Paul morally was a good person. He was very zealous for the Jewish faith. We persecuted the church and all that. But I think he was a very zealous and moral person. That's the way he was raised. And he wanted to put his confidence in the moral things that he had done. He thought by his own righteousness that he somehow could be holy before God. But when he met Christ, he realized, you know what, all that maybe provided his own morality, but it didn't draw him closer to God, to knowing a holy and awesome God. And Paul knew that it was only by faith and through the work of Jesus on the cross that he could have eternal life. Grace is a beautiful thing. Does that mean I can go out and do whatever I want to do? Paul has that discussion with the Galatians. They said, man, God's grace is so great, I can just go out and do whatever I want to, right? Paul says, no, why would you want to enslave yourself all over again to sin? Right? He set you free. Live in his grace and his mercy. So through maturity includes both success and failure. Grace allows us to process and to grow in our faith without being destroyed. Because we can make a commitment to Christ. How many remember that day you prayed that prayer? Maybe, yeah. Have you sinned since then? Probably. Yeah. You know, what if it was one and done? Yeah, you made a commitment to Christ, but you messed up. You didn't make the cut. You're done. Going to hell. But see, that's why grace is there, because grace allows us to mature and to become like him in the process of that maturity, right? And we see this in raising kids, right? if you're a parent, maybe you have young kids, maybe your kids are growing. Kids will disappoint you. There's moments that they make you so proud, right? And then there's moments that they can really disappoint you and even embarrass you. But we guide, we correct, we discipline, and we offer grace. In the process, hopefully they mature and they grow up into adults that are pretty cool to see. You know, our kids are grown. They're married now. And it's just interesting, you know, when they kind of get out of high school, go into first part of college, that's where they think they know it all, right? Okay? And if you're in that category, I'm sure that doesn't describe you. But sometimes they have that attitude that they know it all. Sometimes you have to like, okay, are they still living? I better call them to find out if they're still living. And each of our kids was a little different in that way. Some of them called us more than others. But what's interesting now is that they're married, they're getting into their adult life. It's kind of like we're starting to see some of the maturity in their lives that we were hoping to maybe see earlier. But now it's happening, right? Especially in the spiritual area as God has been forming in their life. So it's kind of cool. We all need God's redemption. It's through His grace and our faith and believing in His saving work on the cross of Calvary. Let's look at the last point, verse 10. Verse 10. This is a cool verse. For you are God's, he says we, but I'm going to say you. For you are God's handiwork, His new creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance to do. I love that word, handiwork, workmanship. You are God's workmanship. Now, we can take that and apply it to when you were born or creation. I think there's other verses that would help support that, right? In Psalms there, Psalms 139. But according to the original language here, it's really referring to that moment that you accept Christ, you are a new creation. God's transforming work. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about this. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new has come and the old has gone. Right? The old is gone and the new is here. You are a new creation. And with that, you were created in Christ, and because of His grace, we have fellowship with God. Right? But even beyond that, there's that fellowship there in the relationship. There is this idea of that you are being fruitful. You're serving a purpose within His kingdom. You're serving a purpose. And so the final principle is there. Your transformed life has a purpose. Your transformed life has a purpose. And purpose is so important, because if we don't have purpose in life, sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. It's hard to go on with life. I think knowing that we have a purpose, that we belong, especially by God, I think that just adds such value to our life. And just in that idea of fruitful, God wants, He's given us a purpose, but He also wants us to be fruitful. And He talks about this, John talks about this in John 15:1-8. He's quoting Jesus. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. This is a whole message in itself. But He cuts off every branch that in me that bears no fruit. Oh, don't we love pruning, right? I don't mean you going out. Maybe you don't, you know, going out. I pruned my apple trees this winter. That's when you're supposed to do it. So I did them, and they look beautiful right now. They're looking really nice, okay? We'll see if they're fruitful. But I really don't care for pruning my plants, but I've learned that there's a good benefit to it. But I don't really care for when God prunes me. It hurts. You follow me? But He prunes off every branch in me that bears no fruit, so that I can die. Is that what it says? So that I can be what? More fruitful. That's why you prune, right? remain in me and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. That's a pretty powerful promise right there, isn't it? And when you, especially when you understand the context that God says, hey, I want you to be fruitful. So it's not like you're going out there and asking for luxuries for yourself. It's saying, hey, God, I want to be fruitful, and whatever we ask in His name in alignment with Him, He is able to do. There's a powerful promise there, folks. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So verse 10, you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And if you can put the word in there, fruitful, right? Which God prepared in advance for you to do. I'm going to have the musicians come. Your transformed life has a purpose. I love taking people through that process. We have a class that I offer from time to time, kind of helping people discover their temperament, their giftings, all that. Because I think it's important that we understand where God, how He's wired us. And with that, we become alive. We become alive. You know, this morning as I was out on my patio, I enjoy sunrises and I enjoy sunsets. Which one do I enjoy most? Why? Because my porch faces east. Well, that's good reasoning. There is another reason I like it. There is another reason I like it. It's because I spend, you know, when I hunt and fish, whatever, and you see that sunrise come up. There's something magical that happens as that sun breaks the horizon. It can be quiet, it can be still, and all of a sudden when the sun comes up, there's the birds start singing, right? There's movement, there's activity. There's life that comes as the sun breaks the horizon. Do you think that just is by chance? I think God designed that in His infinite wisdom. You know what? When I look at our lives, when the Son of God rises in our life, there's a life and we feel alive. Amen? He's created us. He has a purpose for our life. Yeah, we've all sinned. We all need His redemption, His transformation. But thankfully, He's given us His grace so that by faith we can know Him. And we can be in a right relationship with Him. And as He changes us and transforms us, we understand His purpose. And sometimes that purpose is evolving. You know, I sometimes wish I, like Paul, I knew, hey, you know, God says right from the get-go when he's converted, he goes, I want you to be a light to the Gentiles. Now, he didn't know every step that involved. He didn't realize it meant going to Antioch and then going on these missionary journeys. And he probably didn't know. That was probably in the small print there, Dave. It was probably in the small print there at the bottom. Hey, you're going to be stoned and left for dead. You're going to be chased out of so many towns. They're going to try and kill you in Ephesus at a riot. That was in the small print. But he says, I'm calling you to be a light to the Gentiles. I think understanding God's purpose, we don't always know all of it. There's times it's very clear, and other times we say, God, I need to know your direction and your voice. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? The first step is to know Him as your Lord and your Savior. And then He's so faithful to guide and direct us. And I'd like to lead us in just a prayer of salvation and just a prayer over you. Amen? So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. And I thank you for each one here. And Lord, if we haven't come to that place, whether we're here or we're watched online, but we haven't come to that place where we've asked you into our heart to forgive us of our sins, Lord God. You said that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you come into our heart. And the goal is to walk in relationship with you and to draw closer to you. Lord, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of your glory and your grace. But because of your grace and your love, we all have that opportunity to place our faith in you and to have eternal life with you in heaven. And Lord God, I also pray just for each of us here, Lord God, that we can serve you to the best of our ability, that we can truly be alive, that I know there's up and down days. I think that's just reality. There's days that the sun is shining brighter than others and we feel more alive than others. But Lord, my prayer for each one here and even for myself is that we can live each day knowing that there is a God that loves us. And that allows us to move into our purpose that you have for us. That we feel alive, that we feel energized in knowing you and walking with you. And so, Lord God, we give you the thanks. We give you the praise. We ask it in your name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. They're going to lead us in a closing song. Kevin and Kate, would you join me up here? And if you have a prayer request this morning, we just want to agree with you in prayer. Sometimes it's just, hey, I got this happening in my life this week. Would you pray with me? Or maybe you have a health issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Whatever the case may be. We want to agree with you in prayer. Amen. Let's join in and sing this together. To live a life on fire, right? And with purpose. Picture that comes to my mind is I got a Chevy Duramax, all right? If you have one. Yeah. And I bought it for my dad. But I was telling Amy, we went to the dump yesterday, took some stuff to the dump, and a little date, went for a drive, went for a little date, right? Got out of the dump there, and there's times I just have to punch that pedal. I told her, I said, I do not utilize this pickup the way I should, you know, just drive in here. It has so much power. And you push it down, it's just like, it throws you back. I mean, it's just, I love it. How does that apply to our Christian life? Paul says, if you only knew the power that was available to you, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling within you. And too often we're just driving to Walmart, we're driving here and we're driving there, and we just never put the pedal to the metal and say, what do we got here? How much power is here? Amen? That's my prayer, is that when it comes to serving God, you kind of put that pedal to the metal and just say, God, here I am. Let your power flow through me. Father, go with your people today. Let us be the salt and light to this world. Lord God, you've placed your power within us. Not only that our life is changed and transformed, but that the world around us is also transformed. Through ordinary people, Lord God, just like that are here today, just like me, just like everybody here. We're ordinary people, Lord God, that we say, God, here's our life. Let your power be evident in my life. Go with us, Lord. We give you the thanks and the praise. We ask it in your name. Everybody said, God bless you. Greet each other as you leave today.